sweat the technique.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
9648, is Chaz the next one on the chopping block?
They had team control with him for several more years, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to – I don't think so. I think, you know, it's a possibility that, you know, that at a certain point you got to send him down. But overall, I don't think he's on the chopping block, like, for good. But he's got to figure some stuff out.
I don't even see him being sent down. I don't know what that move is. Like, you're sending Chaz down for who? What finished the sentence for me? If they would have made a trade, if they would have done something like that where they bring in another outfield bat, probably still had a Pedro Leon on the depth chart, but maybe that becomes the question. But because they didn't add an outfield bat, I think Chaz McCormick, even with struggles, is on the big league team for the rest of the year should he stay healthy. There's just no one ready. Shea Whitcomb. Whitcomb's more of an infielder than an outfielder, really only can play one outfield position in left field. He had lesser, you know, AAA numbers than Joey Loperfido. Now, is he a better utility player than Aledmys Diaz? Yeah, probably, but you're not going to call Whitcomb up to sit the bench. You could say, well, Melton. Well, Melton probably needs some more seasoning, just got called back up to AAA. His minor league numbers also, like, weren't fantastic. He's their top prospect, but I still think he needs some work. I don't think they're going to rush him up. So I just don't think there's an option to call up for Chaz to go down.
No, you know, look, when you look at it and you think about the fact that no matter how good these prospects might be at the certain levels and any given levels from Sugarland on down, it's a massive adjustment with just the how good the pitchers are at the big league level, regardless of anything else. And at least Chaz, you know, understands big league pitching and everything that goes with the regiment and everything of big league baseball. I don't think you can be experimenting with your prospects at this point in the season.
Yeah, and maybe there's a club out there that we just don't know that maybe tries to release a player to try to, whether it's to lessen their payroll. Angels did this last year whenever they got rid of like half a dozen guys because they were trying to get under the luxury tax. You know, maybe there's a team out there that does something like that where there's still a way to add a little bit to this team, and then maybe that would open up the Chaz McCormick down to AAA type of deal.
The other day, it's is it to the end of September that if they have to be on your roster to be eligible for the playoffs?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I think I looked it up yesterday or the day before, just out of the whim, because even still, when you do what the Angels fire sale did a couple years ago, you know, whether you got to fight through waivers or however you got to try and do what you got to do to get in line to get that guy, it's going to be a very slim opportunity of chance. But if you want to hold out hope for that, that's probably one where Chaz may be in play, but Cabbage would be too.
Yeah, Cabbage is too. Cabbage gives you like a left-handed option, though, whereas you have a bunch of righties right now because Tucker's not here. Like Chaz and Pedro Leon, a pair of righties, and not including Jake there because Jake has kind of run away with the center field job. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Did you watch the team all around today
at
the Olympics? Simone Biles winning. Great story after what happened to her in the previous Olympics, the twisties. Needed a good performance on the floor, was clutch, wins the gold. And then Suni Lee, a good story too. She had that condition where she had to retire from college gymnastics because she put on a lot of weight. Was it the liver or kidney? I can't remember. One of the two.
It was somewhat of a unique disorder, or not a very, you know, a well-known disorder, but yeah, it was crazy about everything that she was going through, and to come back all the way to the point that she did to do what she did today and to be part of the team was fantastic.
Really, I think this to me was the highlight of my Olympics. It's all downhill from here. Seeing Simone Biles win the individual all-around is going to be my highlight for the Olympics. I think it's going to be the highlight for most people too, quite frankly.
Yeah, no, I think that was the number one story for everybody from a United States perspective, regardless of anything else you want to watch. The track and field hasn't started yet. There's some good stories there, but nothing is as big of a story, as great of an individual story as Simone Biles, and then the team and the redemption and everything that she went through.
Everybody's talking about how she has cemented herself in the Houston Mount Rushmore of all time, which hard to argue. Like, I'd probably have her third behind, you know, Altuve and Akeem. People were saying that she belongs on the Mount Rushmore of all time U.S. Olympians, which also, probably Biles. For me, it's Biles, Phelps, Ledecky, and Carl Lewis. Go Cougs.
I don't.
Those are my four.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, who else is in the running?
Caitlyn Jenner, maybe.
Yeah, but that's just one triathlon, right?
I'm kidding. He was. I mean, he was a star.
He was Wheaties boxes and turned into a Hollywood star because of it and stuff. But not the thing that was weird for me. Did you see it the other day when they had Phelps live watching the guy, the swimmer from another country that was doing what he was doing, trying to do two events in one day, and that his accomplishments were close, but no one's going to get to him. And he was like really pumped and stuff like that. I just hated that he was rooting for someone from another country. If that was a United States athlete, I'd be like, hell yeah. But like he was so passionate about it. I was like, bro, come on. No, he's not a United States guy, but okay.
They're college guys, though. They went he followed Phelps to Arizona State because he wanted to be under the tutelage of the guy Phelps coach. Was under. Yeah. So they had the Arizona State connection.
I didn't realize that part of
9499 US women's rugby last second try for the win was my favorite. You told me about that play yesterday.
That was a pretty awesome finish.
6856, Key from LA. Don't forget about Flojo. She's pretty up there.
Yeah.
She's up there.
Yep. Jackie Joyner Kersee and Flojo.
Simone or Phelps? More impressive what they've done.
Ooh, boy, that's a tough one.
Swimming's weird, though, because they have so many events. Like, it's easier to rack up tons of gold medals because they have tons of events.
But it's also the fact that what
gymnastics has a lot, too, though.
What he did, too, was the multiple times with the multiple events within a short period of time. It's one thing to say, I'm going to give my best in, like, you know, the 100 meter.
Yeah.
And then you got to bounce back in a short amount of time and go, now I'm going to do the 200 or I'm going to do something like that.
Sure.
I think.
Buddy has more opportunity to win golds.
Yeah. But to be the most decorated Olympian of all time?
I think I would go Simone.
I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think the bigger thing for me, too, is how many Olympics did they do it over? The fact that she's done all of this at multiple Olympics to the point where now she's 27. The longevity to be able to stay at the peak and to dominate for that many, when Olympics only come every four, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
How many Olympics did Phelps teed over? Three?
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know how many Olympics it took, but I don't think there's a wrong answer either way. If I had to pick one, I'll go Simone.
My feel on the like overall Olympics, whenever I look at the USA, I would be disappointed as an American if the USA – I don't really care about the Winter Olympics, so this doesn't really – like this take is not for the Winter Olympics. It is specifically for the Summer Olympics. I am disappointed as an American, the superior athletic country on our earth, if the U.S. does not win the medal count and the gold count. I don't know how everybody else feels about that, but if the USA does not win the total medal count and the total gold medal count, I will be disappointed as an American because we are the superior athletic country on planet Earth. Right now, the USA is running away with the medal count. 37, next highest is France with 27. But they trail in the gold to China. China has 11. The U.S. has 9. If the U.S. does not have the most gold by the end of the Olympics, I will consider the 2024 Summer Olympics a failure for the U.S. event.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. I'm not, because of the individual stories and the team stories, and as long as those teams do what they need to do. I mean, I was reading an article this morning that the four-man, I had no idea what the four-man was, but it's a four-man rowing competition where they hadn't won a medal in like 100, I don't know, like literally almost 100 years, and they won a medal or they won the gold. I'm like, okay, well, that gold counts. But I totally have looked at it for my whole life, the way you just said. Mm-hmm. I always look at the gold medals, and I always expect them. But it's not fair now because I don't think it's going to – one, I wouldn't rule the disappointment. And two, the rest of the world's catching up, just like when we talk about with basketball and other sports where it was just a runaway domination, and now you're seeing teams that can compete because athletes have gotten better across the world.
Athletes in China better than athletes in the U.S. of A? You're good finishing second to China?
I didn't say I'm good with it, but you said my...
You said you wouldn't be disappointed.
You said you'd rule the entire thing a disappointment.
Yeah.
I would not. If Simone
not
won...
Not disappointed that the U.S.
USA
is
basketball
inferior
won
to China.
The track team won, then if they lose the overall medal or the gold medal count by a couple of golds, and because they got it in like sniper shooting and boat racing, great.
I'm disappointed in you now, Blinkers. You're settling for the U.S. of A being second to China. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Pena, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Pena?
Pena, you there?
Your phone's messing up.
You got to call back, man.
I think he's calling from China, who leads the world in gold medals right now.
It ain't over.
Call back pain. Yeah, 713-780-3776. Actually, I saw somebody like breaking it down, saying that like with all the events that are coming up, that the US of A should be racking up a bunch of golds and pass
track
China.
They're going to clean up.
Yeah. And then like there's still the basketball gold medals, both men and women.
Not 3-on-3.
You still have the individual gymnastic events too.
That's right.
So is China going to win the 3-on-3?
I don't know, but USA is 0-2. Jimmer Fredette couldn't do it all himself.
He was getting a massage yesterday. I saw that on the...
They're getting crushed.
He strained a muscle in his upper leg.
I told you this yesterday, though, but again, when I mentioned that, the bow shooting and then the actual shooting and some of these other things that I'm not going to hold as much stock in, one of the bow shooters, they had a close-up. Right as they were ready to release the arrow at this critical time, a bee jumped in front of the scope.
I remember you telling me that yesterday. Yeah. I saw it today.
And it's like, whoop. I was like, man, that sucks. And there's no do-overs. Look, how long have you been practicing?
Look, they're showing the medal count right now on the TV. That doesn't bother you that China has 11 golds and the U.S. has 9? That disturbs me.
If there was like two events left, maybe, yes, it would bother me more. But I know that there's
You 20... said you wouldn't be disappointed if they finished second.
No, I wouldn't call the entire Olympic performance of the United States a disappointment as you set it up. I wouldn't say that. Yeah, it would still piss me off that they didn't win enough, the amount of golds or the overall medals. But I would be more disappointed if Simone didn't win the gold or Suni Lee or the U.S. basketball teams or things like that.
If we finished second to China in gold medals, it would be a failure. It would be a failure of a Summer Olympics. 8835, Marion Jones, a legend. I don't know, who are you putting Marion Jones over, though? With Lewis, Phelps, Ledecky, Biles. Like, everybody's sending us like the Olympians that belong on Mount Rushmore. If you're going to send one, you got to tell us who you're kicking off. So yeah. Biles, Ledecky, Phelps, Lewis is the four that we kind of came up with, and then everybody's sending like these honorable mentions, these plus ones, like they're the bullpen on the weekends. Who are you kicking off? 1984 says Kurt Angle with a broken neck. That was a heroic moment. It probably doesn't belong on like the Mount Rushmore of Olympians.
Do you hear what he said about that today?
No.
About how many shots he took in his neck just to try and
he took a lot.
Numb it so that he couldn't. I was like, God, it doesn't sound healthy.
4761, no shock. Ron Burgundy doesn't mention Jesse Owens. I don't know which one he's calling, Ron Burgundy. U.S. women have been slaying at fencing. I didn't notice that. Russia's not in it. 6167, go back to Russia. 6856, five Olympic Games for Michael Phelps. That's a lot.
That's a lot. To stay at the top of your field for five Olympics. That's where I was thinking.
Allison Felix has to be on the mount. She's good, but who are you kicking out? Again, who are you kicking out whenever you're adding somebody in? Someone else saying, I agree, gold medals and total USA.
Allison Felix is close to the all-time female track medals won, I believe.
Is she?
She finally retired, but yeah, she was close.
That's pretty good. Who are you kicking out if you're adding some people in? Blankers with a little jab at the 3-on-3 team. It wasn't a little jab.
It's a fact.
It was a big-time jab.
Okay, let me just real quick on that, because this is the thing that you should be focused on. If Jimmer Fredette, who can't even play in the NBA, is one of the three best or four 3-on-3 representatives of your country, what the hell's wrong with this picture? You see how many studs are on the Olympic team.
Well, they can't use those guys.
You have to be able to find four basketball players in this country, to your point about how great and we basically basketball is our sport, that this is what we're throwing out there for the for the 3-on-3.
It has to be people though that have retired, basically, because you're not gonna play 3-on-3 if you still have aspirations to play 5-on-5 professionally.
I didn't realize that the rules are that different.
Well, you're just not gonna practice it whenever you're still like practicing to play like in a G League team or you're doing these summer leagues and stuff like that.
Joe Johnson, I'll throw Joe Johnson out there coming off the Big Three with and he was killing people in the Big Three and say, you'll tell me Joe Johnson can't play 3-on-3?
He would be their best player.
Yes,
you're onto something. They should take
the best three-on-three champions. Yes.
They should take the big three champions.
They kick everybody's ass, but you're putting Jimmer and some dude named Barry.
I like that idea.
Whether he's related or not, he throws underhand free throws up there, and they're getting their ass kicked. It's embarrassing.
This is the best thing you've ever said. 4-6-3-1, I think the 3-on-3 has to play during the 4 years of different tournaments to qualify. That's what it is. That's why the pool is as bad as it is, because you have to play in these tournaments to qualify for the Olympics. So you're playing these international tournaments all over, and you can't leave your teams professionally to do it. So that's why the player pool.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Fran explained it to me before. But you're right. Take the big three champion, and they will go win gold. 713-780-3776.
The quote-unquote big man the United States is throwing out there, if you took like Reggie Evans or some of these guys in the 3-on-3, they're just mauling people. Yeah, go stop that.
They should take recently retired NBA guys. That's who they should take. 40-year-olds.
Fine. Joe Johnson's going to kick everybody's ass.
I think you're right. All right, let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Pena on a cricket. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I ran through the dead zone through the airport. Man, y'all are tripping if y'all are putting Simone Biles over Michael Phelps. Like, so whoever just texted it, five Olympic Games, the most decorated Olympian, the most gold medals in Olympic history, you're going to put Simone Biles over him?
Yeah, Simone Biles over
Phelps. I thought he was arguing for Simone Biles, and then he just turned the corner on me.
Yeah. So are you team Biles or team Phelps? I can't understand.
Come on now.
Hey.
Which side are you on,
Pena? What side are you on? Turn the volume up on that phone.
Hello?
All right.
Oh, my God, Pena. You know what? You're on the list.
Pena, that's a failure. That's a fail of a call. We tried you twice. You couldn't make the service happen. You're flexing that you're in an airport, and then I don't even know whose side you're picking there. You're arguing both sides of you. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth. 2971 says Michael Johnson. Johnson had a dominant Olympic performance, but is he better than any of those four?
Plus the two that we're talking about, too. The longevity of multiple Olympics, like three or more for each one of them. That's amazing.
Kerry Strug says 4631. Probably Mount Rushmore Olympic moment, but not a Mount Rushmore Olympic, just Olympian.
That goes, would you say, heroic? One of the most heroic on one leg, essentially.
She wasn't even the best gymnast on that squad, right?
I think.
Was Shannon Miller on that one?
Yeah, it sounds right that Shannon Miller was on that one, but I thought Kerry Strug was the number one gymnast on that team.
I don't remember, but I don't think she was. 7308, they should use players from the N1 mixtape for the 3-on-3. That's
white
not
chocolate.
A bad idea. This guy says, I mean, Pena does have a point. What is it? What was Pena's point?
Please
I don't know what Pena's point was.
Us.
7322, Joe Johnson, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwight Howard 3-on-3. They would win. That team would win.
Exactly.
Yeah. This guy says he was on Phelps' side. He's the most decorated Olympian of all time. Gold medals. Come on, guys. He had more events. Swimming has more events than any other sport. So he has more opportunity to win gold.
Dwight Howard would go anywhere and play basketball for a bowl of soup, basically. He'll go play.
Yeah. And plus, we have Phelps on our Mount Rushmore. It's not like we're dogging on Phelps. 713-780-3776. All right. Texans play a football game tonight. Top five things that I'm looking forward to seeing. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, if you're looking for a place to bet on sports, the best place that I can tell you to do it is mybookie.ag. You want to start tonight with that Hall of Fame game? Get on it. You want to go somewhere that you don't have to go on an airplane like Pena with a bad phone and trying to get out of town to go gamble? You don't have to. You can do it right on your phone, right in your house, right in your boxer shorts. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the best place to go to put your money down because they're always taking care of the customer. Your money's going to be safe and secure. They've been in business for over a decade. They're not going anywhere, so neither is your money. And the fact is they're always trying to find ways to give their customers more bonuses. And they're doing it again. The main thing I can tell you is our promo code is bet975. They're going to ask you periodically and throughout the process, especially when you're putting more money in your account or you're putting money in your account for the first time, you have a promo code. If you put bet975, you're going to love it because almost instantaneously, when you put that code in and press enter, you're going to find extra money in your account up to $1,000. Depending on what you put in, they're going to put money on top of it as a thank you, and you're going to have more money in your account, more games you can bet on, and more chances you can win. And that casino thing that I was talking about, live dealers standing by at all times. So live dealers with casino games for you to play like poker and blackjack. You don't have to go and go to Vegas or drive to Louisiana. You got it right there at your fingertips with your iPad or your phone or your computer. You've got it because of mybookie.ag. You've got the extra because of listening to me. You go to mybookie.ag, you put in the promo code bet975, and you are going to cash in when you are looking for games to bet on. It is phenomenal, and their website's great too. You can find the in-game betting and live game betting, as well as a conversation with other like-minded bettors while you're watching the games right there. Fantastic place, great bonuses. They take care of their customers. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. With the only place I tell you to do it is mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Top five things I'm excited to watch in the Hall of Fame game tonight between the Texans and the Bears. Number one, violence. I am here for the violence of professional football. I like the hard hits. I like when receivers go over the middle and get their head taken off. I like when quarterbacks are kind of tight-roping the sideline and they take a huge hit. I am here for the violence of professional football. It is a violent game, and I've been missing the violence of professional football. Number two, I'm excited for the new unis. I want to see what the new unis look like on real NFL football players, not with the Photoshop scene with Tank and Will Anderson in the little like mirror room or on that one guy who had the little weird necklace that was in some warehouse. I'm excited to see the uniforms on the entire team on the sideline during the game. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to John Mechie. I'm right there with you. I want to, like, he's probably the number one player in tonight's game that I have the most interest in seeing. Now that all the starters are not going to play, Lassiter's not going to play, really excited to see John Mechie on a field after the reports we saw. And then all the rookies, too, that are going to play, like Bullock. Someone said Cade Cunningham earlier. You mean Cade Stover. I get it, but that's fine. The rookies will be fun to watch. I'm excited. Number four, position battles. The position battles. Now, a lot of starters aren't going to play, so it's not really position battles for starting jobs, but who's your second at position A, position B, position C, and then also like the final roster spots. These guys are playing for jobs. They're playing to be on the 53-man roster, the cut down from 90 down to 53. So I'm excited to see those camp battles for the final few roster spots that are available. And number five, barely winning this by a neck. Davis Mills. Let's see what Davis Mills looks like in his third year in the NFL, his second year in this offense. Does he look like a formidable backup quarterback in the NFL? Does it look like a guy who's going to pass up Case Keenum on the depth chart? He is second on the depth chart, but Case Keenum starts whenever one of those guys needs to start. So I'm excited to see what Davis Mills looks like in the third year of the offense, too, even though they're going to be bland. They're going to be vanilla. I am excited to watch that. That's my five. Violence, uniforms, Mechie, the position battles, and then Davis Mills.
Yeah, look, I said right off the jump that Mechie's the guy that I'm going to be paying the most attention to. I'm also going to be paying attention to the offensive line and the wide receivers, and you can put it in either order, because you didn't have backup a year ago, and then your offensive line was in disarray while you scrambled to get backups at the offensive line. You want to watch if the starters aren't going to play for one or two guys that are going to be able to be respectable enough to step up and you believe could step in if indeed something happens again with injuries. From a receiver perspective, the Hutchinsons of the world behind Mechie, you know, the Skronics of the world that they went out and got. I want to see those guys perform at a level to where if something happens, they can step in. If something doesn't happen, they can create the depth that you need throughout the season. So I'm interested in that. The running back room. I really want to see from a running back perspective what Pierce looks like in the system. No matter what other details are, can he be a guy that could be considered in the running for the second running back position? Can he be a guy more like year one than he was last year in year two, when you just looked like he just was a fish out of water? And then Bullock is a guy that I put right behind Mechie for me, from the standpoint, I want to see a guy with what they're doing with Petrie at safety. I want to see a guy that if he's more ready to play now rather than having to wait and pay his dues and get comfortable and get better later, I'd love to see a guy that looks like he can play.
Yeah, the running backs is a good call, too. I'm curious to see who gets reps there, what they look like. And then, of course, my favorite player on the football team, J.J. Taylor. I'm excited to see J.J. Taylor is going to win a job on this team. J.J. Taylor is going to play an NFL regular season snap this year. So I want to see what he looks like. Jawar Jordan, throw him into the mix there as well. Everybody's telling us that Phelps more decorated Olympian than Simone Biles. You guys just have zero loyalty to the great city of Houston. Zero loyalty to the great city.
That's the biggest thing. You're in Houston.
Yeah,
she should be at the top of your list no matter what. And if you're biased, so what?
Yeah, I'm biased. They're saying that he's from Baltimore. Like, you have a bunch of Houstonians that are making a case for the Baltimore guy. No, it's Biles.
He's a Ravens fan.
Biles is Houston.
Ding him right there.
Yeah, and then everybody's saying that Spring is not Houston. Come on.
Oh, stop.
Spring is most definitely greater Houston area. There is no doubt that Spring is greater Houston area. The King of Twitch says, is Humble? Yes. Is the Woodlands? Yes. If you have a high school football team that shows up in the Houston Chronicle's top 10 greater Houston area for 6A, 5A, 4A, you are greater Houston area. Katie, greater Houston area. Lamarck, greater Houston area. Galveston Ball, greater Houston area. If you are eligible to be in the Houston Chronicles, greater Houston area, top high school football team poll, you are greater Houston area.
Fact. Fact. And stop it. I mean, the thing is, you got Total Dallas already on Twitch trying to chime in and say, we'll adopt Simone Biles. If you want Dallas taking her, then keep that point of view and keep that hot take. Other than realize the fact that she's from Houston, it does, and there are so many more from surrounding areas that you should claim and be proud of. But at the end of the day, Michael Phelps is a Ravens fan. That's all you need to know.
She's definitely, definitely a Houstonian. You kidding me? Simone Biles. Now, she might be moving to Chicago with Jonathan Biles, a football player.
That's going
to
be another one-year deal. Don't get, no.
Yeah, plus, he's going to bounce around.
How weird is that, too?
Jonathan Biles?
No, the fact that they let him go, but for that length of time, how's it? It's going to set him back quite a bit when he comes back.
My wife and I had a little conversation about that.
Is that right?
I was like, if I was his coach, I wouldn't love that he was over there.
I and my completely wife was said like, the same thing.
My wife was like, what? He's supporting his wife, and you know she's one of the greatest Olympians ever. And I was like, yeah, but if I'm the coach, I don't want him to be gone for 3 weeks.
Let me just say what you just
she
said.
She thought I was a jerk.
Just say what you just
well, she
said.
She might be right,
and
but
remember
not for that
this.
Reason.
He's supporting his wife, and during the season, she'll be supporting him. Because of the money that she's making, because he's going to have a hard-pressed time to find a job, at least on the Bears.
I think that's a good counterpoint, is that she is the breadwinner of the family.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, just watch the commercials on the Olympics to find out if she's doing okay financially.
2971's asking, is Beaumont part of the greater Houston area? I would say yes.
Look, you just include Galveston. If you're including Galveston, then Beaumont's in.
Beaumont's, whenever Beaumont Westbrook or... You know, I think that's about it.
Ball?
From the Beaumont schools. There's not a ball in Beaumont, I don't think.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Galveston ball. I thought you were talking about Galveston.
But like Beaumont Westbrook, whenever they had good football teams, they're ranked in the greater Houston area, Houston Chronicle polls. That's greater Houston area. If you're being ranked in the greater Houston area polls in high school football by the Houston Chronicle, you're greater Houston area, as far as I'm concerned.
If ESPN 97.5 is going to do remotes in Beaumont,
yeah,
you're part of Houston.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 3358, what about the kickoff? Are you excited to see that? Yeah, actually, I am. I'm excited to see what that looks like.
You know what I'm excited for? It's a one-year trial.
You don't think they're going to keep it up?
They don't have to, which is good, because I've got my doubts. And I just don't like changing what we've always seen. I think they've already softened it up enough. But now you're kind of succumbing to the other leagues that are gimmicky to try and get viewership, which I don't think you have to do. I'm not a big fan of the kickoff.
I would like to have kept it the same, but I am interested to see what it looks like. I want to see how teams use it, strategize, et cetera, et cetera. I would just kick the ball out of the back of the end zone, quite frankly.
Which is what
not even
they already did anyway. So then again, why change it? Just keep doing what you've been doing and blast it out of the end zone.
Player safety. They're anti-violence.
They're anti-violence, but they're lining the whole team up except for the kicker and the returner 10 yards from each other and letting them go at it.
Yeah, that's safer. It is safer.
I mean... Yeah, from the standpoint of a running start to really crush someone. But other than that, it's still going to be a pretty aggressive couple of seconds trying to block.
You see a lot of neck injuries on kickoffs, like the whole crunch and then like two blockers on one.
Or the spear guy going down and catching the guy.
What do they call that guy? There's a name for him. Forget him. All right, we talk a lot about the Texans and their schedule, how much it matters. How about this stretch coming up for the Astros and the difficulty of their schedule, and could it define their season? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what that is, but you're experiencing hair loss and you're going bald and you don't think there's anything you can do about it, that's what you need to know about the NeoGraft procedure. It gets your hair back, and it does it in a way in which it's your own hair. I didn't realize this until I sat down with Doc and his staff, and he explained to me that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head, no matter how bald you go up top or in front. The fact is that he takes some of that hair, he repurposes it, he puts it where you need it most, and in no time at all, you've got your hair back. Again, it's going in the exact same direction as the rest of your hair. It's the same color, and because he's taking it from a spot where you're never going to lose it, it's not going away. It's going to be there with you probably for the rest of your life, and that is exciting for you. And because you listen to us and you're interested in him, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com where you can get information and sign up for a free consultation with Doc and his staff. I said free because to the general public, they go in and they want a consultation. It's $150. You get it free, so why not do it? There's no commitment from you, no money out of pocket or signing on the dotted line. Just question and answers. Them explaining to you everything from the PRP treatments that can kind of re-strengthen the hair you have to getting your hair back with the NeoGraft procedure. I love these guys. I did the procedure. I couldn't be happier with it. The results are there for everyone to see, and it is phenomenal. You could be the next in line. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell them I sent you by.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Everyone saying Jesse Owens needs to be on y'all's Mount Rushmore. Okay, but we were only counting guys that both of us saw perform at the Olympics.
Yeah, not just me. Fact that a lot of times, too, we're just talking about the ultimate, like, all the medal count and everything like that, but it's a legit thing from the big picture of what Jesse Owens meant.
Yeah, more than just the performance, mm-hmm. No doubt. We talk a lot about schedule, especially with the Texans, because they do have a very difficult schedule. The Astros have a difficult schedule coming up. How much do you think this could impact the rest of their year?
I think it impacts them a lot, and I think it's because of the fact that they got off and dug such a slow start, dug themselves such a big hole, that now when you look at it and say, hey, it's one, you know, you're in a dogfight with the Mariners and it's you and it's them. But then you're also considering the wild card and the other teams in the periphery that might be involved in the process of one or the other. The Rangers aren't that far behind you or trying to catch the wild card. And when you look at the fact that coming up, I mentioned a couple times how tough the schedule is going to be in August, but the Astros are only going to be playing 9 out of their next 35 games against a team that has a losing record. They're playing against, they've already played the Dodgers, they got to play them again. They're playing the Red Sox. They're playing good teams. They're the only AL playoff hopeful who doesn't face a team with a losing record for at least 10 games or more from August 1 through September 8. So you're talking about the Rangers, they play 10 out of 35. The Mariners, 16 of the next 34 games in that span are against teams with a losing record. So that's where the schedule can be a factor for you. And that's where you've got to be on your best. That's why when we're talking about, you got to have Kyle Tucker back. You got to have Verlander back. You got to have the guys that are going to be giving you the best chance to really kind of persevere through this stretch. September, it loosens up a little for you, but I think this is the part of the schedule that's going to define the entire year for the Astros.
I don't worry as much about baseball schedules as football schedules. I think they both matter, but football schedules to me matter way more than a baseball schedule. Baseball, you have a little bit of volatility, like in each series. Like, are you ducking the number one, number two starters from a team? Are they throwing their A's? Who's out? Who's in? You look at the Astros, who did they play? The Dodgers. The Dodgers, you catch the Dodgers whenever they don't have Mookie Betts, they don't have Freddie Freeman. Maybe you have a bad team that just has a really dominant pitcher and then you're facing him. I mean, kind of like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's not a bad team, but you face Pittsburgh and then they throw their ace in that series. So I think there's more volatility to the baseball schedule, and it's more about when you play them versus who you're playing. But yes, it matters. I just don't think it matters as much as football.
I think it's also because of the fact that football, it's just 17 games, whereas, you know, you're playing a whole lot more games too. Your points are valid, and it's also because you play so many games. But at this point in the season, for this specific season, you're talking about where you cut all kinds of slack and leeway out of the way with the way you started and how bad you performed. And now you're lucky enough to be in this position, but now you hope that what we've seen out of this team is, unlike taking the bad teams for granted and then falling flat on their face, yet the Dodger series, the Orioles series, they have been able to step up against the better teams this season too and play some of their best baseball. It's just you'd like them to be healthy too, because this right now, I think, as a microcosm, comes down to what could decide your season, this stretch of games in the month of August.
Yeah, it is weird how the Astros, they do have the tendency to kind of play to their competition, where they'll struggle against teams that aren't as good, and then all of a sudden they play really well against the better teams. Haven't seen that as much this year, with the exception of the Orioles series, in which they came into town, you swept the Orioles, who I think is the best team in the American League.
But think about 2 years in a row, too, the Seattle-Oakland back-to-back. You come in, you play your best baseball against the Mariners, you ruin their in-season World Series, and then you go and completely crap the bed against the A's.
Yep. Junior Bronco says catching the A's when they have two guys in their lineups that are candidates for player of the month, eye roll. So yeah, it's about when you play a team in baseball, and then which pitchers you're seeing, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, this is a critical month. There's no doubt about that. Art says that since 2017, the Astros have been horrible in August. You know, is that a coincidence? Is there something to that? I think it's more coincidence than anything else.
I would counter that by saying, and in the golden era of Astros baseball, they've found a way to, they haven't started like they started this year, and they found a way to get to the American League Championship Series. This year's totally different than that. It's not about, you know, of the month of August and how they play. It's who they play.
3-0-6-2 doesn't impact them nearly as much as them tripping over their junk out of the gate. That's something that is disappointing. McTaggart sent the tweet yesterday because yesterday was the final game of July, and he just did the month by month for the Houston Astros and how they've been month by month this season. And you look back at the start that they had, and it's like, man, just play 500 baseball. Then March and April, they were 10-19. May, they were 15-14. June, 17-8. July, 14-11. So they've been good in the summer.
Yep.
June and July, they have a record of 31-19. They've won 31 of 50 games. That's pretty impressive. You do the win percentage on 31 in 50 games, that's a 62% pace. You look at that over the course of 162 games, that's a 100-win pace. So in June and July, they've played at a 100-win pace. The problem is they were 10-19 in March and April. If you go 14-15 in March and April, you have a 4-game lead on Seattle right now.
Yeah, this is a team when you look at it, and the reason why both of us are bullish on the fact that this can still be a team that wins the World Series, gets to the World Series, does what they've done in the past. But then when you look at it from a record perspective and know how bad that start was, you're playing a team, or you just got done playing a team in the Pirates, that you assume when looking at it and looking at the two teams, you go, Astros are way better than the Pirates. And then you look at the records and go, no, they're not. They're right there within a game or two of the two teams. And you're going, that's not, you don't feel like that's supposed to be the case. That's indicative of just how bad and how much it's killing them to have gotten off to the slow start that they did.
Ocho, the Astros schedule is only as hard as they make it. It's more about how they play than who they play. They've proven they can stink it up against the worst teams while being successful against the best. That sums it up about as well as you can, I think.
But it's not just how they play. When he says the who they play against the team they're playing against, but who's playing for them too? Because who they play means you'd like to have JV and Tucker at your disposal,
yeah, but that
so you can play your best baseball.
Yes, but that doesn't really, I mean, that's yes, no matter what. Like, you wish you had Tucker Verlander no matter what the schedule looks like.
Yeah, but the bad thing is you had Tucker and Verlander at the start of the year when you were so bad, but now I think it's critical.
Well, not Verlander. Verlander missed a few starts.
That's true. But for the majority of when they were bad, he was pitching.
Yeah.
So you look at it now and say, now I need both those guys, and I need to have the healthiest, best chance to win every single night as opposed to having some fluff room.
That's the hope for the team. The hope for the team is that somehow you crawl into the playoffs, and then at the start of the postseason, everybody's healthy, mm-hmm. and you're at your best. That's the hope. Now, that's maybe too hopeful. 8835, I'm still laughing at when Blanker said Dwight Howard would play basketball for a bowl of soup. It might be too healthy for Howard, though, honestly.
Based on his track record of his diet, yes, you're right. But at the same time, he's been playing in all these different countries, starting fights and doing everything just because he's getting another opportunity, and he hopes it turns into another chance in the NBA.
Doesn't he have the doesn't he own part of that team? Any part owner of it?
I don't think so, because
he did.
He was stealing money from them for all kinds of appearances and stupid things, just trying to collect extra cake.
Yeah, they don't hate the hustle. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are you nominating for the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Hall of Fame coming up at 7. It is Summer Slam week, so I'm sure the boys will be talking about that. Space Cowboys coming up at 7 o'clock on 92.5 as well. So keep it locked and loaded on ESPN 97.5 and or ESPN 92.5. We're going to be out at the Hunters Extravaganza tomorrow at the NRG Center. So swing on by, say hello to us. Landry Locker will be filling in for Joel Blank. Blank is out tomorrow. So Landry and I from the NRG Center, the Hunters Extravaganza tomorrow. Make sure you either tuned in or you come out, see us out there. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day, Blankers?
I'll start by owning it. Me. Because I'm still trying to figure out. I saw it. I swear I saw it on TV. And I saw players being interviewed. But if I said Cheryl Swoops was in the middle of being investigated. And if it was back when she was still coaching and she's not coaching at Loyola anymore, then that's on me.
I think that it's probably some sort of domino effect of that. Like either their decision has been made, or if there was some sort of civil law case, maybe there's been a ruling on the civil law case. I'm guessing that's what it was.
Yeah, because I saw it on my TV in the office while I also saw something on my timeline, and I'm going, I know it was in the last day or so, but maybe it was because of her Caitlin.
Maybe you were Clark living in the past. Comment.
Well, it's not something I do often, but you're right. It's possible.
Maybe you're living in the past.
I've been accused of it.
The Seattle Mariner fans are my nomination for the car wreck of the day. We know how bad Seattle Mariner fans are. They're maniacs. They're psychotic. You. They've put my address on the internet because I trolled them and made them mad. Mitch Garver, who's not doing well. No one in that Seattle offense is doing well. But Mitch Garver yesterday after the game, fighting back emotions on trying to get out of his struggles. Quote, "It's probably the hardest I've ever had to grind. This is by far the worst I've ever played in my career. Tough on myself and my family with the death threats, the retire and you suck and bad word kill yourself and all that bad word. It's getting old. The only way I change it is if I play better, but it's like continuing right now. So the worse I play, more here, and rightfully so, I'm not playing well." So Seattle Mariner fans who have already been, you know, the worst professional sports fans that currently reside in the United States of America. Death threats to a player that is struggling. Unbelievable.
It's hard that you could ever say that you should take a page out of the fans of Philly, but even when Trey Turner was struggling and struggling and struggling mightily, they found a way to support their own guy, and he pulled out of it. But that sounds pretty apropos for Seattle.
I don't know how sports are so serious where you're threatening somebody's life. Threatening somebody. Like, booing's fine.
It's not your livelihood either, right? I mean, no. These guys, it's not like they're not trying. They're trying to keep earning a check and playing for their keep, so to speak. But you're just a fan, and you're going to crush them like that?
Like, I mean, we bang players, obviously,
but
bang on players.
Threats?
We don't do death threats. Like, we talk about poor performance, which is fair. They're professionals that are getting paid based on their performance. I think it's fine when fans boo them. I think it's fine when they heckle them. Now, crossing the line, becoming personal, or now threatening them is ridiculous. Like, let's stop taking sports to the point of life and death and threats or any sort of comments that are crossing the line. Banging on a player's performance because they're not playing well is totally acceptable. Saying that, you know, they should be an offensive lineman that goes to help up their quarterback when they get knocked off their feet, that's totally fair. Talking about performance. Whenever you're talking about players' families and racist remarks, sexist remarks, threatening their lives, you're a loser. You're a loser.
That's pretty pathetic.
In Seattle, you're a bunch of losers. Always have been, always will be.
First round picks that I said were never going to be a centerpiece of a trade and weren't worthy of it.
Who's that?
Sam Decker.
Oh, he's from Seattle?
No, he's from Wisconsin. I once tweeted, someone was sent a trade proposal to me, and I was like, I hate to break it to you. Sam Decker is never going to be the centerpiece of a trade that brings you back whoever it was. And Sam quit talking to me. He was pissed.
Sheesh. Alex is nominating car wreck of the day for Total Dallas. Not exactly sure why, other than he resides in Dallas. He's really from Arlington, but that's neither here nor there. And then Ocho says, car wreck of the day is definitely CBS for preempting the Young and the Restless for Sheila Jackson Lee's funeral. All due respect, but Victor Newman supersedes the death of Miss Jackson. Sheesh. Ocho likes his novellas. He likes his shows. So Ocho's on the Young and the Restless, King of Queens, and Everybody Loves Raymond. Ocho has range.
Yes, he does.
All right, what's winning?
I'll go Seattle fans. That's awful.
Yeah, Seattle fans, unanimous. You're our car wreck of the day. You're going to win something this year, though. That's good. All right, does it for us. Thanks to Boston Rodriguez for filling in for the ill Brian McDonald. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
Rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.